This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving to us all. Happy Turkey Day. Hopefully you got done eating a nice meal and you're getting ready to watch some football, hanging out with some family. But thank you for tuning in to the Dom Salvia Show. I got Jess P.S. here with me. You can join us via the text 855-752-4842. Happy Thanksgiving, Jess. What's your plan for the day?
Happy Thanksgiving, Dom. By the time that this is airing, I will be between Thanksgiving gatherings.
Ooh.
My husband, Michael, and I, we have three sets of parents amongst us. Which means we have three stops that we are making today. So it is a very, very busy day.
Makes for a great Christmas gift, though, right? I mean, you get three different parents giving you gifts.
Some Hanukkah.
Some Hanukkah.
Some Hanukkah.
Do you give gifts on Hanukkah?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right. I don't know.
Yeah, man. You know. 8 days of gifts.
8 days?
8 days.
It's like a gate.
It's a full gate. No politics today.
No
politics. We're taking a break.
Well, very little politics.
We're
going to
have
some fun. I mean, it is the holidays. We are getting with family, and hopefully everyone's having a good time. And, you know, it's important to reflect.
Absolutely.
On the things that maybe we're grateful for.
Yeah.
Gratitude.
Gratitude, man.
I got to work on it, Jess.
I know. We're all works in progress, Dom.
I kind of feel like I'm owed. So why should I be grateful? I'm owed this.
What are you owed?
Everything.
Everything.
All the time.
Come on,
I'm like an Eagles song. So thank you for tuning in. We're going to get to it a little bit. And Jess, got to thank you for bringing this article about gratitude to my attention. And I am grateful. And you got three stops today, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be going up, hitting my mom's place up in Appleton a little early.
All right. What are your old stomping grounds?
My old stomping grounds. I have many stomping grounds.
You have many.
Poor places. I shouldn't stomp on them so much. Gonna go visit Ma. She's in a memory care unit in Appleton. So the staff they have for all the guests, all the tenants, they do a nooner kind of holiday or a Thanksgiving meal. So I can go up there, visit my sister and some family, and sit down with Ma and hang out. Then hightail it back to Milwaukee. My cousin-in-law is hosting this time, so I got the family coming over. Gonna do all
you got
that.
A big gathering there.
Yeah, it'll be a big gathering.
Nice.
Probably 15 people. It's gonna be a good size. And I'm grateful that everyone else is like doing the cooking.
Do you bring a side?
Oh, usually a
Does
bottle
Steph
of scotch.
Bring a side?
You know, I bring. I'm great with the booze.
Yeah,
but yeah. I do. What I make? I make ice cubes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
I make coffee.
But do you make the like shaped ice cubes or just standard run of the
mill? Well, I mean, if someone wants, I'll have to get the thing in this shape. But normally just I got the big fat ice cubes.
All right.
I make ice cubes, I make coffee, I bring the booze, you know, I'll bring the
you
weed.
You bring the party.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some things I'm good for. You know, making, you know, cooking the meat, you know, do you want to be eating my meat? That's not great. Got to make sure it's prepared properly. And I'm a good baster, though. I do enjoy
it. You're a master baster.
I do enjoy basting. Yeah. It is one of my favorite things. Even as a kid, I'd open up that oven. I want to do a little tight with a big baster. Spray it all. So good. I mean, I could just eat the skin off that turkey, and that's all I really need.
Uh-huh. I do get roped in for cooking duty, but I like cooking.
So what? Like sides or actual like preparing of the meat?
My favorite is the green bean casserole because it has the potential to be incredible or awful.
Mm.
It can either be a mushy mess or it can be a crispy, delightful, rich dish. But I do everything from scratch. So like I make the cream of mushroom soup. I get fresh green beans. It all gets blanched and then mixed all together.
Blanched? What's that? What's that mean?
Okay. So you take... It's just hot water.
Oh, you rinse it.
Well, it's like parboiling. Like you,
okay.
You cook them for a few minutes. You don't get them all the way cooked through, just like part of the way.
Because they got to cook later.
Well, they got to cook the rest of the way in the cream of mushroom soup, which you got to make from scratch with way more garlic than it says that you should use.
And there's like chips on top. Is that what do you do for the top? Or what do you?
Okay, so that's the one thing that I don't do from scratch, because those little crispy fried onions. Mm. I mean, French's does it better than anyone else ever possibly can. I've tried to do it homemade a couple years, but it'll never be the same. Ever.
Don't force it.
Don't force it.
It's homemade enough.
It's homemade enough. I mean, it's delicious.
You're not growing the beans.
I'm not growing the beans. But yeah, that's my favorite. I'll also do stuffing if it's on the table, if it needs to be done. But in my family, we have a strict division of the sides. My sister has to do the mashed potatoes.
Like her requirement or yours?
She just loves making mashed potatoes. Okay, yeah. So she just jumps on it immediately.
Buttery goodness. Oh, so good.
So good. This is not a time to be cutting corners, people. Throw in the rest of the stick of the butter. You know you want to. You know you should.
And just, what are you going to do? It's butter. It makes it smooth butter. And so yummy. Oh, I mean, it's so good. And just have a little bit then. You know, don't go back for thirds.
Especially not me. I got to do like strict rationing.
Now, do you do like the appetizers before? You know, the cheese plate with the crackers and all that kind of stuff.
Like, I mean, yeah, it's just a full day of just nosh.
Absolutely.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to be grateful for.
It certainly is, especially the pie.
Oh my
now,
God.
I'm a pie guy. All the pie. So, of course, pumpkin pie.
Of course, pumpkin.
Love pumpkin pie. Mm-hmm. And I'll eat pumpkin
whipped
pie.
Whipped cream or not?
Oh, yes, whipped cream.
Yes, always.
God, I mean, God, you gotta have Come whipped on. Cream. So good. And also, not to plug like the locals, but Elegant Farmers apple pie is the pie in a bag thing. Mm-hmm. Local, that stuff, it's crack. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I can eat that stuff. And now I think that I heard they're selling them like smaller pies. So you can get
personal pies.
It's totally fine. Yeah, it's only like 1,000 calories.
Don't look at that. That's not information you're supposed to know.
So do we count calories on
No.
No, doesn't
they
even
don't
matter.
Exist.
Doesn't matter. Now I have actually eaten myself like not sick, but like,
into way too much. Oh yeah.
Too much. Not okay. Mm-hmm. So I need to kind of like spread it out a little bit, maybe. Mm-hmm. Try to, you know, discipline myself a little bit. Maybe one piece of pie.
Of each. You've got to.
I mean pumpkin pie and apple pie. This is what I'm saying. So much to be grateful for.
Yes.
And are you a drinker on the holidays? Do you?
Not usually. It doesn't do me a whole lot of good.
No one's mixed the old fashions at the house. No.
No. My parents just, it's not their thing.
Yeah. I do like an old fashioned.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, again, from scratch. You know,
from scratch.
Yeah. You know, we can do a little muddling and get those cherries, Luxardo cherries. Oh, my God. So good. So much to be grateful for. And there's some science behind it. And I was totally unaware. Mm-hmm. And Jess, you do all the hard work
I
here.
Know. And you were so grumbly about it, too.
I'm grateful, right?
Grateful, damn it.
I'm grateful. It's like kind of a running joke with my wife and I sometimes, especially when the kids were younger, they get into some stuff and we were like, oh, damn it. We just get angry and cranky and be like, okay, we're grateful. Because of course, whatever the issue is, isn't worth getting as cranky as I can get sometimes. My reaction sometimes
maybe
is
a little big.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe a little big.
But so, and there's nothing, and the kids are healthy, happy, you know.
Right.
I mean, so it's really, I say it and we goof around about it, but certainly we got to put things in perspective.
Yeah.
And this time of year, it's a good time to reflect on those things and put things in perspective, because not everyone is healthy, happy, and has a roof over their head and all those things that we should be grateful for. And there is some science behind it. We're going to tap into that right now, just a little bit. If you want, you can play the game with us, 855-752-4842. Text us.
Uh-huh. We're not going to answer you right away. But if you send us in a text, we will see it, and we can actually respond to you.
Yes.
Sometimes when you text in, it's usually me who will respond.
Thank you, Jess.
You're very welcome. But that's the thing you can do when you call or text us at 855-752-4842.
Gratitude can improve our mental health. Here is how to create a practice of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Research shows that gratitude had a significant inverse relationship to loneliness. As gratitude increased, loneliness decreased. That kind of makes some sense, but apparently, Sam Jones, writing at the Washington Post, now it's science. Now you gotta believe it. Mm-hmm. As Sam writes, as the holidays approach, it's hard to go anywhere without hearing the word gratitude. And it's not a bad thing. Gratitude is a positive emotion that recognizes the good in others have brought to our lives and is important both for our relationships and physical health. Gratitude has also been linked to decreased loneliness. Yes. The first meta-analysis looking at the association between gratitude and loneliness found that across dozens of studies, gratitude had a significant inverse relationship to loneliness. As gratitude increased, loneliness decreased. This finding and others reinforce the importance of cultivating gratitude and point to its potential in helping combat the current loneliness epidemic. And that's got to suck. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am not lonely. Like, Steph will make fun of me sometimes, like, because I'm always around people. I'm like, very rarely am I just like sitting home and just taking it all in myself. I'm always out being social. A quote here from James Hittner, professor of psychology at the College of Charleston, South Carolina. What loneliness is really all about is the perception that the kinds of social relationships I have, quantity and or quality, are not up to par with what I desire. The article goes on, people who are lonely are more likely to socially isolate and have a greater risk of depression. Now, Hitter and his former undergraduate student, Calvin Wildholm, analyzed 26 studies that report an association between gratitude and loneliness and found a moderate inverse relationship between the two. Across the studies, if a person scored above average on gratitude, there was a 62.4% chance they would score below average on loneliness.
Yeah, man.
Now, Hittner was not surprised by the findings, but was glad to see a robust inverse correlation. And the quote, it's totally one of those things where you think, yeah, well, of course. But it's really nice to see that actually the data pans out that way as well, said Glenn Fox, a neuroscientist that was not involved in the study. Now, we have more on this strong association between greater gratitude and decreased loneliness. And there are some drills, some practice. You can actually, like,
you can get better at it.
You can get better at it.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just saying to yourself, I'm grateful. Through clenched teeth as the kids.
As your blood pressure climbs and climbs.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. That is Jess P.S. We're going to get back into gratitude on the other side. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Thanksgiving. Come back with us. We'll tell you what you can do to maintain and increase your gratitude.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Show. Happy Thanksgiving Day to us all. We are practicing being grateful here. Got Jess P.S. on the board. We're talking about this very interesting article, Gratitude Can Improve Our Mental Health. Here's how to create a practice. Let me just highlight a little bit here. James Hittner, the professor of psychology at the College of Charleston in South Carolina. People who are lonely are more likely to socially isolate and have a greater risk of depression. Now, the association that they noticed here was that there's a moderate inverse relationship between loneliness and gratitude. Across studies, if a person scored above average on gratitude, there was a 62.4% chance they would score below average on loneliness. And Hittner says that he was not surprised by the findings, but glad to see the inverse correlation. It's totally one of those things where you think, well, yeah, of course, but it's really nice that the data actually pans out that way as well, Glenn Fox said, a neuroscientist who wasn't involved, but Fox is now an assistant professor of clinical entrepreneurship at the University of Southern California Marshall School of Business, published the first direct study of gratitude in the brain in 2015. He and his colleagues found that the participants who experienced gratitude showed increased activity in a region near the front of the brain called the medial prefrontal cortex, known to be involved in social bonding and joy. Ooh, I like social bonding and joy.
Well, the interesting thing about this, so the prefrontal cortex, this is part of our brain right up at the front near where your forehead is, that is enormous in humans compared to our closest primate, quote unquote, relatives. This is part of the brain that we're thinking probably the thing that makes us human, the thing that makes us really, really different. A lot of it's located in that prefrontal cortex.
Well, you know what they say, Jess.
What?
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Thanks.
Finding such a strong association between greater gratitude and decreased loneliness really emphasizes the notion that gratitude enhancement interventions should be doing things that specifically target loneliness as an outcome. Hintner said that's something social psychologist Monica Bartlett has focused on for nearly two decades.
So, what can gratitude actually do for us? Yeah, it sounds nice. And yeah, there is sort of this intuition that when you recognize the good, good things maybe seem a little bit more obvious. And I do love this quote that, yeah, it's great when the numbers actually pan out that way. Right. Because there are a lot of things in this world that seem intuitive. And then when we look to the numbers, it's not. And that can really suck.
Right. Like sometimes, you know, the parents telling me, be grateful. Well, there's a reason for that. That one actually pans out. So there you go, parents.
Yeah, so now you've got another tool in your arsenal here, and we'll make sure that this article is linked in the show notes. Coming back to it a little bit, what can gratitude do for us? Bartlett, a professor at Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington, said she studied how our emotions have evolved to serve a purpose. Quote, and so from that perspective, I've always been thinking about what is it that gratitude does for us? End quote, she said. So this is a field of study that looks at how emotions have served an evolutionary purpose. This looks at finding a reason for the way that we feel, the way that we do, the way that we respond to situations in the way that we do. It may have helped us to survive, may have helped our ancestors to get through their surroundings and make more humans so that ultimately we would be there to analyze what can gratitude do for us? Bartlett and her colleagues evaluated the effect of gratitude on loneliness and health in older adults in a 2019 study. Over the course of 20 days, they asked participants to write down a couple of things each day that they were grateful for and, importantly, connect those things to someone else. That could be another person, but also a pet or even a higher being. Quote, we can think about this more broadly, Bartlett said. They found that cultivating the simple practice led to a decrease in loneliness and consequently an increase in well-being in the participants assigned to the gratitude writing task. Which leads to some practical ways to actually incorporate gratitude into our lives. Because it's something you can get better at. It doesn't necessarily come super easily to everyone, and certainly not in every situation. But it's something that you can get better at. You can practice. So a really, really easy place to start is to set up a gratitude practice. And this can be writing down three things that you're grateful for, or even just talking to someone on a regular basis and exchanging things that you're grateful for. My husband and I actually have a daily practice sort of similar to this that we started doing because about 2 years ago, we sat down with each other and went, I don't think I'm happy day to day. Like, that might be a problem.
Right. Let's figure out how we can get happy. And that's a hell of a way to go through it. If you're not happy, it sucks.
And so we were just like, well, yeah, I guess there have been things today that made me happy. But I'm only thinking about it now because I was so unhappy. So we started every single day recounting three things that we did in a day that we accomplished and three things that made us happy, three things that we were grateful for having experienced. And I'll tell you that over these past 2 years, yeah, it's helped. In this article, it talks about when you have this practice of gratitude, when it's a daily routine, you start to look at your life and notice more when those good things happen because you think, oh, I want to jot that down later. I want to make sure to put that into my gratitude journal. I want to make sure to share that with my gratitude partner. And it helps.
So if I keep like a grievance journal, that probably is not working for me.
It might not actually be helping you so much.
Write down three things. You get into the habit of scanning your day for what's going well and how others made it possible. The new mindset will be superseding, overriding more negative views, which are typically much more salient to people, Bartlett said. We seem to be ready as humans to scan our world and notice the negative because the cost of not might have been significant. Because the cost of not might have been significant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the ability and you have the privilege and the awareness to focus on the gratitude, it'll do wonderful things for you. Folks, come back with us. This is the Dom Salvia Show. That's Jess P.S. And we are grateful for you.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Got Jess P.S. on the board. Happy Thanksgiving to us all. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Don't eat too much and be very, very grateful. And folks, of course, it's that time of year as well. It's the holidays. You want to help out. You want to show your pride. You want to show off some Civic Media gear. Check out civicmedia.us on the upper right corner. There's a store link. You can go to the store. You can find t-shirts and hoodies, black t-shirts. Slimming, as Maggie tells me. Ball caps as well. It's the holidays. Civicmedia.us. Check out the store and show everyone how smart you are by listening to Civicmedia.us. We are talking about being grateful. I'm grateful. Grateful for you, Jess. Thank you for that.
I'm grateful for you, Dom.
Thank you, Jess. This Washington Post piece was put out there. What's her name? Sam Jones. And Sam Jones talked about the correlation, the inverse correlation, as reported by some scientists, social scientists, that the more grateful one is, the less lonely they are, generally speaking. So we can do, you know, some drills, some practice. It's like homework. Seems like homework.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit of homework.
But yeah, I guess self-care is effort. I mean, it doesn't just happen. You know,
right.
It's, just as self-abuse doesn't just happen. I mean, you have to put effort into it. Trust me, I know. So, you know, try to find things to be grateful. Some of the drills, some of the exercises that one could do, as mentioned, Jess, write down three things you're grateful for. Do this on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be heavy. It doesn't have to be deep.
It doesn't have to be huge. It can be, I saw a pretty flower today. I'm grateful for a pretty flower.
Aw, really? Even in this weather, there's flowers still out?
There's a couple out back.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple little violets that are holding on that are really beautiful.
I'm glad you saw them now because in a couple of days,
they're going to be gone.
The cold is coming. All right. So beyond just writing down the three things a day that you're grateful for, mm-hmm. another one, composing a gratitude letter. Now, this one probably takes a little more effort.
Yeah, a little bit more involved.
Yeah. Some research has shown the positive impact of gratitude letter writing, which takes the practice a step further. Bartlett, the scientist, also suggests gratitude letter writing to her students. I ask my students to think of a person who they have not ever thanked, expressed gratitude to, or have not for a long time, and then write them a letter. Not a text, not an email, but a physical letter that they deliver by mail or in person. Bartlett says, quote, it's very interpersonal in nature. And again, thinking in terms of loneliness, that's a lovely social connection that just happened.
When was the last time you wrote a letter?
Like an actual letter?
Like an actual letter.
Decades.
Okay.
I mean, no. Okay. No. Email? I mean, no, I don't write letters like with a pencil and pen or? Yeah. No, God. I have horrible handwriting.
I know.
You've seen my show notes. I'm like half the time, what did I say? It was very important. I'm glad I wrote it down, so it must have been important. No, I type. I email all the time. You know, I communicate. I'm pretty good on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm great in person.
Yes.
But no, letter writing, not in my forte at all.
That's fair. How about
you? Are you a letter writer person?
Sometimes.
When's the last time you wrote a letter?
Sometimes I leave my husband letters in the morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, leave the toilet, put the toilet seat down, or like sticky notes?
No, I don't have to tell him that one anymore. Oh,
yeah. And you're grateful for
that. And I'm grateful for that. Just little letters. Tell him, you know, I fed the cats, don't worry about it. And I know you've got this coming up at work, and you're going to do great. And I love you. Okay, bye.
Okay, so those are kinds of things I would text.
Right, yeah, sure. Yeah. But I like writing it out because, you know, I can do little swoopily dooplies and like
little hearts.
I can do little hearts over the eyes.
No, that's cute though. I mean, but you know, I can text with little hearts and stuff.
Yes, you can. There's a lot of personalization that can go into that. I have written like some heartfelt letters within the past year or so that maybe haven't been for the most joyful reasons, but you know.
Sometimes letters that are you write never to send.
Right.
More for your own mental well-being, right?
But I think there is something to writing a gratitude letter. I mean, our brains are hardwired to fixate on the threats, fixate on the bad things. And when you handwrite a letter, you have to go so much slower than if you type. You have to be so much more intentional, and it's a much more physical process. It engages more of your muscles. It engages more of your brain. When you spend that time and that focus on gratitude, on the good things, I mean, I love this idea to just sit down and think of a person who you're grateful for, someone who you haven't said thank you to in a long time or ever, maybe like a parent or a teacher or a mentor or a friend. And to just spend that time devoted to thinking of all the reasons why you're grateful to have a connection with them, that's beautiful. And then to actually share that's something that can be so good, so healing in this world.
Yeah.
And I think we can use a little bit of that.
Hey, ChatGTP, write me a letter of gratitude for my health.
See, that won't work. That engages no muscles.
But the words come out, and as long as it says pretty much what I say and I sign it, it becomes mine.
Not how it works.
Okay, what else we got? We got a couple of options here.
According, we can be willing to experiment. And practice.
All right. I'm down with experimentation and practice.
I know.
What are we talking about? I am in. Sign me up.
Back to the article.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's experience incorporating gratitude into their lives varies, Fox said. And setting up a successful practice will come down to willingness to experiment and practice. Quote, I really do think of gratitude as being like a muscle in that the more we practice, the more we become connected to gratitude's transformative benefits, he said. And at the beginning, it may require a lot more effort than at the end. Mm. So just the way that not everyone's fitness routine is going to look the same, not everyone's gratitude routine is going to look the same.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it might be muttering, I'm grateful. And maybe that does actually trigger that genuine moment of connection within you. Maybe it is something more like writing a letter or making a gift, something that is more physically involved. Maybe it's something of just having a conversation with someone. It may look different day to day and person to person. And that's cool. People are cool and different.
And everyone deals and appreciates in their own way in different ways. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I mean, there's no right way to feel gratitude, right?
And that pretty much is the message here, that it doesn't have to look the same, that everyone can have a different practice, and it very well may look different day to day. And some days it'll be easier. Some days it'll be harder. But overall, it's probably good.
It's probably good. Now, you say you and your husband, you write down, you know, these, you do it every weekday, every day, or
we don't once write it down. We just talk to each other about it. Yeah. It's part of our nighttime routine of winding down the day, is we just talk to each other. Today, these are the things that I did that I feel like I accomplished. These are the things that I'm proud of doing today. And then these are the things that I found joyful today. These are the things that I'm grateful to have experienced today. And it's just a great way to check in with each other and share our lives in a way that helps us build that connection that, you know, that this is my best friend and we get to spend our lives together. But sometimes the days are very different. Sometimes he's having a day that's really rough and I'm having a great day. And we don't necessarily get a chance to talk to each other a lot. So it's a time to come together and check in and just be like, yeah, you know, there were a lot of challenges today. And a lot of good stuff.
Right. And. Yes.
Yeah. It's not but.
No. And. And there are challenges.
There are challenges.
Even as Ice Cube said, I didn't even have to use my AK. I got to say, it was a good day. Terrible. Stick with your practice, but also treat yourself with kindness. Mm-hmm. Now, Fox, who helps people starting or running large businesses, uses gratitude to combat stress and loneliness. That people often enthusiastically begin a gratitude practice only to hit a wall a couple weeks later. Sticking with it is important, he said, but treat yourself with kindness as you develop that skill. I think that's a good point, too. Doesn't come necessarily naturally.
Right.
It doesn't. Not for me, it doesn't. Like I said, and I only say it half tongue in cheek. You know, hey, mm-hmm. I'm owed this. Mm-hmm. Very, very bro of me. Uh-huh. But I have learned as I've gotten older and I have experienced some more life, I've mellowed out on that. And I do, and I learn, you know, a family and kids and friends and, you know, and our health and the roof and all the things, you know, yeah, oh my goodness. And then you see things that are going on around that necessarily, that other people, the challenges that are happening. And you can really, really, it's like, wow, you know, my little problem is insignificant. And mm-hmm. these are the things I am grateful for. As mentioned, sticking with it is important, but treat yourself with kindness as you develop the skill. A lot of it has to do with our self-talk, to really say, I don't have to be perfectly grateful all the time. This is not an exercise in perfectionism. It's really an exercise in just noticing things that are going well. That's really the place to start. And that's some great advice. And it is, and again, it doesn't come naturally necessarily for people. And I know mm-hmm. the attitude of cup half full, cup half empty. You know, I drank the cup. Doesn't matter, right?
Right.
And I do think some people are kind of, you know, again, depending on how they were raised, you know, and the nature and nurture, all those kinds of things. But to get yourself into a mindset to recognize that, you know, things could certainly be worse and things can always be better. Mm-hmm. And appreciating and being grateful for those things. And we can have an impact on those. The days that go good, the days that go bad, mm-hmm. recognizing that you know what, and the days that are good, they're not always going to be like this, you know?
Right.
And love it and soak it in, baby. Take it all in.
Feel it as deeply as you'll feel the bad days.
Yeah, because that too will pass, and the bad mm-hmm. days and those will pass. And, you know, again, unless we're talking, again, it really depends on the person and the life, right? Literally what you're dealing with in one's life. A lot of things, at least in my own personal experiences, have been, well, I mean, that's all in your head. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all of it, but a lot of that. You know, here's one little thing, and all of a sudden the wheels start turning, my brain goes da da da, and it blows up into this entire mm-hmm. thing. That's not necessarily reality. It might be reality in my head.
It's right, but you're feeling it, you're experiencing
right,
it.
Right, and that's real. You know, this may not be accurate.
It might not be. And it comes back to this evolutionary study of emotions that, yeah, it was probably good for our evolutionary ancestors to be a little bit more fixated on social slights. It might have been a little bit healthy for them to be a little bit more on edge to certain things. But for us, it makes us spiral. And when we can't recognize the things that are good in front of us, when we can't hold on to those things, we just get sucked in and we lose out on so much.
And I think also there is of the good and the bad, call it. I mean, you know, the things we're grateful for, the things that we're not necessarily grateful for. In today's society, we have access to all those things all the time.
Constantly.
And so in some very real respects, it is almost easier now than it ever has been to find those things that are grateful and mm-hmm. and get you in that mindset. But also
all the worst things that humans do to each other.
The dark side, man, that thing exists. And if you're in that mode, you go down that road, you can find everything you want there as well. So it's really that mindset.
Which is why you need the practice, you know, just like, you know, a new exercise routine gets really hard. So sometimes you have to scale it back a little bit in order to build back up. It's start where you are.
Not everyone starts out CrossFit, and I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you
some people never get there.
You got to walk around the block, you know, do a little stretching out, do some lunges a little bit, you know, do some body weight. Don't worry about throwing the weight around. Just make little baby steps.
Yeah.
Step by step. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Happy, happy Thanksgiving to us all. Got coming back with one more segment. Talk about Nobel Prizes. Nobel Prizes. Nobel. Nobel Prizes. You know, the guy that started the thing?
Mm-hmm.
He invented dynamite.
Yes, he did.
Damn. Folks, come back with us. Happy Thanksgiving.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Thanksgiving to us all. Hope you're having a wonderful evening with your family and your friends, and you're very grateful for all the things in your world. We are grateful for you for tuning in and hanging out with us. I want to move along briefly here, and we'll carry it along to the next hour as well. The Nobel Prizes, not just Peace Prize. I'm so used to saying the Nobel Peace Prize.
Uh-huh.
But the Nobel Prizes are getting awarded. I know this is something that you wanted to talk about, Jess. Why do you think this is important?
So I think the Nobel Prizes have the opportunity, even if it's not necessarily being fulfilled to this standard, to be a unifier among humans. You know, we have the Olympics every 2 years that is this opportunity for different nations to send their best athletes to compete. And it turns into this recognition of all that unites us. And especially in times of really strong divisiveness, I think that's important that we recognize the work that we're doing to come together and the work that we're doing to make this world a little bit better. The Nobel Prizes have, I think, the opportunity to be this, to be a recognition of great advancements and great discoveries and breakthroughs that humans are making in order to continue to live as humans. Not necessarily always fulfilled in the most complete way,
and we'll
get to that. But I think it has the opportunity. And I love that this is a way of bringing these discoveries to the public view. Each Nobel Prize, in order to actually receive the award, the recipient needs to deliver a lecture. They need to actually share the learning that they are doing with the public in order to receive the monetary award as well as the prestige.
I didn't know there'd be homework on top of it as well. Like, I do all the work and I got to do a presentation as well. You know, just when we talked about this topic and it comes up, because it's not just generally, and this can happen historically, but especially nowadays, it's not just one person mm-hmm. or just one team. And my understanding, the Nobel Prize is given to up to three people.
Right. It's one to three people.
In reading some of the articles on it, you know, I think of like the Large Hadron Collider and people who mm-hmm. make, you know, find the God particle and these kinds of things. Well, and even if that's the case, Bose-Higgs, I think it was, well, it's more than one person. Hell, in some cases, in given those scenarios and the equipment, which mm-hmm. are publicly paid for by tax dollars, uh-huh. you know, these are the folks that are getting the benefit thereof. Not just the person who is giving the presentation and whose name is on the front of the document, but the reams of people behind them and the tax dollars behind them. There's very little recognition of that. I think right. of Madame Curie, right? She mm-hmm. did the... X-ray. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And it died from exposure to
her husband,
radiation, the staff. I mean, how many people
yes.
are, you know, working with these radioactive pieces mm-hmm. got themselves sick and died for the science. Mm-hmm. Now that happens hopefully less these days, but certainly yeah. there's recognition of that. You know, those folks didn't get the recognition that Madame Curie got.
No, they didn't. Which is one of these places where I see a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah.
And I think if we can talk about it more deeply, then these are the two people who are being awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics, and talk about the team of three dozen people who supported them. And if the Nobel Prize changes from being a monetary prize for one to three people to a monetary prize that goes to an entire institution.
Well, hey now.
Well, okay.
What is the monetary prize? Do we know?
Is in krona, in the Swedish currency, but it is around $1 million US.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that'll
help. Significant.
Yeah, for real.
It's not pocket change.
But it's a whole lot less significant if it's divided up among
right.
100 people.
But that could pay for some very good equipment. That could pay towards the next big innovation. Steps.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Do you think that we are, as a society, I mean, I remember growing up, I thought that, oh my God, that's super cool. Nobel Prize for mm-hmm. science. It seems kind of lost its luster a little bit. Maybe it's just my focus on politics and everything else
maybe.
Now. But when I was a kid, I was like, man, that's really cool, the science. I mean, if you were a Nobel Prize winner, man, mm-hmm. you were smart. That was the pinnacle, the top of your game.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still that way?
Kind of. I think that there's a recognition that it's a flawed system.
Mm.
And I think that as it is right now, it can open the door for conversation. And if you have a thought on it, you can send us a text right now. 855-752-4842. We might not respond right away, but we will see it and we will send you something back.
All right, so the Nobel Peace
Prize. It's one of six prizes.
One of six. What are the other six? Do you know?
Oh God!
Oh, too much pressure. No! All right, hold on. Hold that thought. We're going to come back. We're going to jump into the six different categories of Nobel. Don't call it Peace Prize, although that's one of them. So there's five others. We're going to jump into and talk about what it means and what it could mean for society, folks. This is the Dom Salvi Show. That is Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Enjoy the turkey and come back with us more on the Nobel Prizes on the other side.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.